As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, well, as we start this hour, and we welcome Alex Rich in from Y98. Sue, he hasn't told you this. He comes into the studio. He's got some video from right across the street where it looks like there's been some serious overdoses that have taken place because we're used to seeing, you know, it's drug trade right in front of our building on a regular basis. We're kind of used to seeing homeless people slumped over, but there's a bunch of them out
there. It was an overwhelming amount today, so much so that I called the police. I called 911.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was just, I seriously saw.
How long ago did you call them?
I called them probably 10 minutes ago now. And
you know
I
where
was
they're
on...
located? They're located about a half mile down the street. You know where they are? They're not there.
Do you know I was on hold also for a good 5 minutes? This was 911 I called.
Yeah, that's
not
great.
Not the police line. Well, full 911.
Yeah, we do not have. I mean, this is clearly a problem in the city. Jane's talked about it numerous times. We are hundreds of officers down.
But there is a scene right now.
It was an overwhelming amount.
What's
I saw at least 6 or 7 people that looked like they had likely
watch
done
the
same drugs.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, convulsing. I mean, like...
Oh.
Well, it could be a situation. It legit could be a situation because they're dealing and buying down here all the time,
It could be a
right?
bad batch.
Maybe it was something that...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, fentanyl
I mean,
or
I was
else.
Just calling as just a good citizen.
Yes.
You know? But they kind of gave me a little bit of, like it was almost like an inconvenience to the 911 folks that I called. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Well, to Sue's point, they don't have the resources, and they're going to prioritize, and I'm guessing, and I suppose I wouldn't want the homeless people on fentanyl prioritized over someone who is shot or something like that, but it's that's quite amazing, and it's stunning. Now, this is not in an area where, well, it is in the downtown. It's right west of our building.
By the public library.
It's by the War Memorial, right? And that's where they're on the steps of the
they
memorial.
They have been taking that over, and it's not good.
It's not good.
On the western part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, fire truck just pulled
there?
Up.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, 15 minutes later.
Yeah, there you go. I'm curious to see how many people they're gonna get out of here with some Narcan, I would have to assume.
Right.
But we'll have to be watching it here unfold. From the windows of KFTK, you know?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, hold your thoughts on other things. We're going to get into Sue's news. I want to close the loop just real quickly here because I was on this media bias kick in the last hour, and I want to play Rainn Wilson, who is an actor I think most people know from The Office. He's been in movies, too. I don't really know that he's got a reputation of being on my side of politics, and I don't think he is, but he said something very interesting with Stephanie Ruhle on a podcast who is with MSNBC. Now, look, the topic here, let me simplify the topic. The topic is the media malfeasance that goes on in the legacy media on a regular basis. They don't tell the truth. They lie. I've said it this way in the past. I really did think that... when Trump said 8 years ago, the media is the enemy of the people, I thought that was ridiculous. I criticized it on the air. I no longer feel that way because I believe the media is the enemy of the people. They lie so often. They mislead you so often. And you got this Jeff Jarvis guy who's a journalism professor. He was on with Scott Jennings on CNN last night. And then he kind of puts it this way. I played some of the audio before the top of the hour, but let me isolate this here.
But my point is this. Yes. If you're CBS or any other news outlet, The reason that you have lost trust ought to be obvious to you, and the way to fix it also ought to be obvious to you, and it has nothing to do with Donald Trump and everything to do with the product. Just try to make a better product that appeals to more people. And the way you appeal to more people is by not crapping on half or more than half of the country because of their values and political viewpoints.
I think that that is
what you'd end up with in that press room then is, and these are my words, the freak show that you had Trump once. Trump tries to devalue media. Why should we value his freak show there? Let's leave it to the freaks.
Leave it to the freaks. The freak show. Are you kidding me? The freak show is the White House press corps that didn't do their job for 4.5 years. The freak show are the legacy media members that knew damn well that millions, this isn't an exaggeration, millions of illegals were streaming across the border. Millions. And Bill Malusian, Fred, he had shots every day.
Right.
He had lines of men, Chinese nationals. Some of us were saying, hey, what the hell's up with that? These aren't people from Honduras or Mexico. That was never, ever on any of these other outlets. Not once. Not one time. And this guy, Jeff Jarvis, wants to blame, because he's a journalism professor, he wants to blame people on the right for all this because he doesn't like the fact that podcasters are in the White House briefing room. You only have to have journalists with capital J's in there that are biased as hell.
Freaks. I don't think there's any disagreement on that,
insulting.
By the way.
I mean, he called these new media sources the freak show. They're not freaks. They have audiences.
Some of them are.
They have audiences, and there's a reason that they're audiences. Thriving is because people are starved for information that they think they can trust. They're not freaks. They're filling a need in this country, in my opinion.
All right,
Really? That's what she says. So my trick these days is this. You know, I always used to use Uri Berliner. If you have liberal friends and they're confused by the complaints about, you know, the legacy media being biased, well, send them a link to Uri Berliner's piece from a year ago. Might go back 2 years now, from NPR. But how about this? I might just buy a bunch of copies of David Zweig's new book, An Abundance of Caution, because as David laid out the other night, there's so much media malfeasance that went on with COVID. It is unbelievable. It's indescribable, the level of deception that went on during COVID and then in the aftermath that lead up to the second Trump administration. But let me play a little bit here of Rainn Wilson before we get to Sue's news. He's talking with Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC.
40% of Americans don't trust mainstream media. Why is that? How did we get here?
Listen, we are seeing a huge loss in trust of all of our institutions. It's the media, it's medicine, it's banking. It's a huge problem because when you think about democracy and all of these pillars, they need to stand tall, they need to stand strong. And sort of losing that trust is not by accident.
Okay, so she goes on with a lot of blah, 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 blah. But what I find interesting, I wanted to play that first part there, is because yes, she's right. There is a loss of faith and confidence and trust in these institutions. But you know why? It's because of the legacy media. They're the ones that get the blame here. And even Rainn Wilson here, just wait for it, kind of gets it.
So it's a perfect storm of people saying, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm tuning out, I'm disconnecting. And then you have a force pushing it. But even in the last 2 weeks, what we need to do is just cover what's happening in America.
You think?
Right? We have to cover Democrats trying to figure out what their lane is and how they're going to get back on their feet. And we have to simply cover what this White House is doing. And I think if we do that, right, there's that saying, you know, trust is gained in raindrops and it's lost in buckets.
So, but you can't be trusted when there is a Maryland father who's a gang member and you're not telling your audience that he's a gang member and you're telling them that they're just a Maryland father. Now, you can say both, right? You say a Maryland father who's also a gang member, but you got to include that.
That's and it's right. not a, yes, you're not incorrect that the media has lost trust.
This is where I would push back.
Here we go.
When I see this kind of insight and passion being directed at the current administration and the lack of this kind of insight and passion being directed at the previous administration, where, again, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about left-leaning news media organizations.
He's talking about her.
We're kind of like, la, 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 everything's fine. Look, the environment's, I mean, look, the economy's great, la, 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 immigration's not that much of a problem. And really being Cleopatra, queen of denial. Thank you. Boom.
I would push back on immigration.
I wanted Ethan to keep that last part there. And I don't know what she said after that, but she says, I want to push back on immigration. Are you kidding me? That's the one area where you
can't.
You were probably more deceptive on the issue of immigration. And by the way, once you started paying attention to it, let's remember this. Once they started paying attention to the immigration issue, it was all Trump getting the blame for not signing on to the big deal that the Democrats wanted. And there's no way to stop the border if we don't have this bill. And then Trump comes in, shuts it down immediately. So they're so full of apps. And one of these days I'm going to say the S word, Fred. I just want you to know that because I'm on the cusp and I've been on the cusp for like a week. But let's do this. Much lighter, friendlier Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Good news in my world, they have reshipped some new shampoo.
All right.
And conditioner.
That's always a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Alex, you might have missed the story yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
We had a United States Postal Service incident.
Is that right?
We did. Alex, I received a package that they had. It was supposed to be shampoo and conditioner. Somebody had broken in, taken out the shampoo and conditioner, and stuffed someone else's mail in there so it would weigh more. And they delivered that to me.
Wow. I'm a little bit speechless. I'm actually quite a bit speechless. I don't even know, like, the fact that it's stacked with somebody else's mail, I think, is the most surprising part of the whole thing,
explain
right?
Explain what happened, because they put something in the box, right?
Yeah, they
also, who steals
out,
that?
Right. Well, we went through this
yesterday. A well-coiffed person.
It's nice. It's nice shampoo. But the bottom of the box was, what would you call that? It wasn't solid. In other words, it bent in,
you know,
so
how,
they must have gone in.
You know, the top
of
a look, yeah. Look on a, well, envision a cardboard box, and you don't have tape, and how do you close it? You kind of close it one at a time,
fold,
where you fold it over. Mm-hmm. So the bottom was folded that way, and it didn't seem to be taped shut, and they basically undid it, I think, is what you think.
They undid it and took it out. But the one piece of mail they shoved in there so that it would weight the package down and still get delivered. Was a tape for a blind guy in my zip code. So I dropped it off to him last night. He was happy. He said, oh, that must be my... He couldn't...
So you talked to him?
Yeah. Well, he answered the door and I gave it to him. He was happy.
What a story.
It's crazy.
Yeah, what a story, okay, all the way around.
How did his hair look and smell? That's what I would want to know.
So, Sue... I think you're doing a better job than the Postal Service.
Well, maybe
in that
incident,
he got his package.
That's true.
It's true.
He did.
It's a very valid point.
All right. But anyway, I told this whole story to the shampoo company, Prose, Prose, and they sent me a new one. And they said, okay, we'll let our, you know, I'm sure they hear crazy stuff of why stuff doesn't arrive, but that's got to be a topper.
Was there any, like, markers on the, like, markings on the box that gave away that that's the type of shampoo it was? Because clearly whoever stole it was.
Well, it says the Prose, the kind, on the actual tape on it, right? This is where it's coming from. And the bottles will each say, made for Sue. So I hope someone's enjoying it.
Oh, they really do?
Maybe it was somebody named Sue.
You didn't say that yesterday.
Yeah, it's adding to the story.
Personalized shampoo.
Yeah.
It's personalized.
How about that?
Alex, I didn't know that was possible.
That's insane.
Right.
Yes, they ask you, what do you want to do? Do you want less frizz? Do you have problems with whatever the issue is? And
what
then
do
they
say?
Make it.
Well, I'm just out of curiosity. What is your issue?
This is a whole new world.
Is this a plug? I mean, we're going to have to send this to that company, right?
I think we are.
Yeah. I think we're all going to have our own shampoo.
Last
by
time
the end
I did
this.
That, by the way, remember Fred, the 5-Hour Energy guy?
Oh, yeah.
We had this big discussion. This goes back like 13, 14 years. I talk about 5-Hour Energy. I sent it to the guy, the president of the company, and he sends me like a box of 5-Hour Energy.
No
so we
way.
Might get that.
We're all going to get, I'm going to take that upon myself. We'll get this audio.
You should.
And you're going to get me the company that this is.
It's
and we're
awesome.
Get...
And you choose from smells.
Right.
What
but
kind
do you
of
have
flavor?
A frizz issue, Sue, or something other
well,
than
it's,
that?
Well, it's, you know, do you have dry hair? Do you want less frizz? Do you
no,
have
you don't understand.
Volume?
I'm specifically asking you.
Oh, yeah. This is what I like. I don't like frizz.
Okay.
I want a frizz reduction. I
Who
do
doesn't?
Have dry hair. There are other issues.
You got to have moisturizer. I get it.
You got to have moisturizer. My hair is color treated, and it's a problem.
Alexa Reardon would be right there with you.
Yeah.
She would be right there with you as a 10-year-old.
This whole
I promise.
Thing's really unbelievable.
It is.
I'm excited about this now.
Okay.
By next week, I assure you, we're all going to have our own personally made.
If there's someone that can make that happen,
Prose,
it's you.
It's called Prose.
Yeah. If they can get it to us.
If they can send it to us.
That's a solid point there, Fred. All right, on this day in history, 111 years ago, in 1914, Wrigley Field opened in Chicago. Now, their first team which I didn't realize, and Fred, you guys may all know this, was the Chicago Whales? Say what? And they were in the now-defunct Federal League. The Cubs played their first game there 2 years later, shortly after the Whales folded. Did you know about the Whales?
I don't think I never heard of
Whales.
That's completely nuts.
I've heard of the Federal League, but I didn't know the Whales.
Have you been to Wrigley Field, Sue?
I have. It's great. Okay. I saw, actually, a concert there. I haven't been there for a ball game. I was there for Paul McCartney.
Well, it's the baseball park that I went to as a kid. You know, I grew up in Chicago, and one of the things that I always mention is, and this is kind of hard to envision today, but during the weekday games in particular back then, because there were no night games, remember, that didn't come until the mid-'80s, late-'80s, they wouldn't have the upper deck open. You know, all the games were on WGN radio, so they had the TV money, the TV revenue, and they had, you know, the audience. So it wasn't like people weren't watching the Cubs. My grandmother in particular was very loyal to the Cubs. But I was a Dodgers fan when I was a kid, and it was because of Sandy Koufax and some of the great Dodgers players and Walter Alston, who was a great manager. And Walter Alston wrote a great baseball handbook, and I bought that when I was like 8 years old or something like that. So in order to see the Dodgers come to Chicago in Wrigley Field, my dad pulled me out of school because they didn't have night games.
Oh, wow. So, that's, you know, really cool.
I know. It was kind of fun.
That's very Mark Reardon, the fact that now this is the first time I'm hearing you were a Dodgers fan.
When I was a kid, I was a Dodgers fan.
So he likes the Dodgers. He likes the Packers. He likes the Chiefs. He likes anybody that really is has trended high for a while.
That's true. I spread it around.
Yeah.
But it is an awesome ballpark. The bleachers are a lot of fun. And I do like the troughs. I have to say I'm a fan of the troughs. And that will lose Sue on this, but I am a fan of the troughs.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's more efficient, Sue. I'm just telling you.
I'm sure it is, but double ew.
Mark likes being as close as possible to people when he's in the bathroom.
It's not that.
So
it's quicker. It's more efficient. Mizzou, too. They got the troughs at Mizzou. There's a reason they have the troughs.
Okay. And on this day in history, 40 years ago, in 1985, I can't believe it's been 40 years since Coca-Cola announced it was changing the secret flavor formula for Coke and introduced New Coke. And, of course, everybody hated it. So the company quickly pivoted and reintroduced Coca-Cola Classic. And then that hung around for a while, and they dropped the Classic in 2009. They just had to give it enough time.
Wasn't it only like a 17-day turnaround with the decision?
It was really
quick. What was in that old Coke? Like some crack or something that made it so addictive?
Well, you have to go way back for that.
No, they were just trying to come up with a new Coke flavor to freshen up, and that was the marketing.
That was when Pepsi was kind of making a run for them, which no longer is the case. I think Pepsi has dropped.
But that's what the crowd felt. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those stories
wasn't that bad.
It's one of those stories that's no doubt told in marketing classes all across the country.
You will or will not drink a Diet Pepsi if that's your only option.
I will if it's on the fountain, like at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'm not as opposed to as I used to be.
Sure.
I kind of like it on the fountain sometimes.
But out of the can is absolutely no.
Well, really? I like Diet Coke out of the can.
No, but Pepsi. Diet Pepsi out of the can.
I mean, I'm not going to buy a can of Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Okay.
That's interesting. I'm
not going to do that.
I like the Diet Pepsi. I don't drink it anymore, but I like that better than the Diet Coke.
A lot of
people
do.
There's so few of us.
Well, but people do, and one of the reasons that Coke Zero is popular is because
Coke Zero.
Right, it's sweeter.
Yeah. Is it?
I like it tasting like the aluminum can and not much more. That's my thing.
Okay, fair enough. We also, you picked out the best ketchup and then didn't buy it. So that's a Mark Reardon thing.
Well, yes. I can't deny that.
Yes.
I'm brand loyal.
Yes, you are. At 20 years ago, in 2005, I can't believe that YouTube is only 20 years old, but that is the case. And the very first clip posted to YouTube was one of the co-founders standing in front of the elephants at the San Diego Zoo, and we have that. It's not riveting.
All right, so here we are, one of the elephants. The cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long trunks.
Wow, and then he goes, "That's all there is to say." That is pretty riveting.
Did I also hear YouTube started as originally like a dating site?
I did not read that.
I thought that I had heard that last week from somebody as well.
Oh,
that had also mentioned that, but
let me say, and I'll just admit, and I don't know where you are on this, Sue and Fred, but as an old media guy, I mean, radio, television, YouTube is still hard for me to get my head wrapped around from the standpoint that my daughter, all right, my daughter's 10 years old. She watches YouTube. She watches,
yeah.
That's where she gets her media. Now, we monitor and we regulate this, but still, she's gone away from watching something on Netflix or on Disney Plus or something like that.
They watch it
and
there.
And there are YouTube stars.
Yeah. It's interesting how they consume it, you know, younger kids, even younger than myself. It's like I do still go there to watch, you know, for me specifically, and I think you too, Mark, like when I have a good cover of a great song or something that somebody posts, like there's a lot of good videos out there that I think that's what I go to YouTube for. But yeah, you're right. Kid, my nephew watches like full shows that are only available on YouTube. I mean, this guy, Mr. Beast, if you heard about Mr.
Beast?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Beast is only does YouTube. It's insane.
She likes this guy named Preston, who's like a young YouTube star from Dallas or something like that.
I'm like you, Mark. You know, it kind of overwhelms me. I wouldn't even know where to find some of these things on YouTube.
I think you would.
Other than the search engine.
Well, yeah, I think you would. And Mike watches it for all kinds of just long-form podcasts, and you find a whole world of people who will talk to you about all kinds of crazy different stuff.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to use it for something that I'm going to need to use it for in the house, and I'll explain that here in a second.
Okay. All right. And the results of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan votes are in, and I've got a little bed music for this. Just a bed of music? What am I saying? You know what I mean.
We're going to talk with Tim Sommer on Friday, by the way, Sue, about this. Because they're going to be revealed on Sunday. Is that true?
Well, the results are in for the fan vote. Now, here's what I didn't realize. The fan vote does not have a ton of influence on who makes it into the hall. It only counts for one single ballot.
Right.
So all these people vote, and it's just one ballot. And this was the winner.
Fish. Took me a long time to get back home. And they would probably be the lock. But we'll get Tim's thoughts on that in the 5 o'clock hour on Friday. I can't even remember some of the other names.
The Bad Company came in second, Billy Idol, Cyndi Lauper, and then Joe Cocker, and then it goes from there. Soundgarden, Chubby Checker, even though he's got one hit. Black Crows, Mariah Carey, Joy Division / New
Order. I don't necessarily disagree at all, though, with the fan vote.
Right. The fan vote is not...
Fish should be
inaccurate.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not a jam band guy, but I know that there's an appreciation for that. I just don't have
I don't think I know
it.
Enough about Fish.
I don't really either, but I know that they have an army of fans behind them. And
like the Grateful Dead.
Like the Grateful Dead. I think of them as another Grateful Dead-ish thing. I probably insulted somebody.
No, I don't think so.
And finally, in Sue's News, we do have today's random fact. Now, the Masters, of course, just happened, but I did wonder this. Golfers who win the Masters get to keep their green jacket for a year, but then they have to return it. And it gets put in a closet, and then they can wear it whenever they visit from that point on. But you don't just take that sucker home forever.
Yeah, I knew that.
I
feel like
not.
There's isn't there a replica that they get to take home also, though?
It
that I don't know.
Say.
Is that kind of the way it is with the Cardinal Hall of Fame?
The red jacket?
That is actually exactly how it is with it. I had heard that as well. I think they keep them at like the museum or something, and then they give it to them to wear on opening day and any other time that the Cardinal Hall of Famers need to wear them. That way they keep them nicely pressed for them, and they don't have to bring them in town.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Yeah. Then you don't see somebody looking slouchy in it, or they've let it go. Yeah,
or you
that
got a stain
sense.
On it.
Yeah.
Was that your random fact?
Yeah, that was
it. There you go. We're going to wrap for this. I'll come back and tell you how I'm going to use YouTube. Alex Rich from Y98's here on a Wednesday afternoon. Andrew Bailey at 5:07. Switching to
light. Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, my studio emptied very quickly, and I wasn't sure where everyone was. But Alex, when we started the hour, was talking about coming into the building here at Park Pacific, which is located, you know, kind of catty corner from the War Memorial, the Veterans Memorial. And there were more than an unusual number of homeless people who were slumped over and did not look like maybe even they were alive.
Yeah. Yeah, there was it was quite the scene. It looked like there was definitely a bad batch of something that everybody in that group got their hands on, and we were just talking to Maria.
Maria Keener from Camo X.
She was asking a little bit about it, and I said the biggest thing was that I was on hold for several minutes while I was on with 911. Like, to be completely honest, if it was like, I was just telling Fred, if it's like I'm getting mugged on the street or something, or I'm the one like actually needing help, by the time that they answered, I wouldn't have probably even needed the help anymore.
So let's run through this. This is very important. This is one of the reasons that Tashar Jones is not mayor right now. So you call 911,
mm-hmm.
and then what happens?
And it actually came on as a recorded message.
Okay.
To press 1 for, I don't even know what the option was, 2 for EMS, 3 for firefighter, or hold the line.
Really?
Hold the line.
Like, you don't have an operator that just answers.
No.
Okay.
And then I guess I just held the line for somebody to answer because it didn't give me the option to just, hey, I don't know if I need police. I don't know if I need EMS. I just need to tell somebody the problem. And I figure if I'm going to call 911, they're going to answer and say, what's the emergency? So then they answered. I tell them the story. And then the person on the phone was like, well, let me transfer you to EMS.
Okay.
So actually, originally, it played that welcome message twice. The press 1, the press 2, went through that twice. So I was probably at that point on the phone for a minute and a half.
So if you witness a shooting, which, by the way, we have those right around here, and you're going to alert the police and call 911, pretty much the same circumstance would have happened, right?
Oh, no.
Up until the point where she said, you know, exactly what are you calling for. Maybe she puts it in a different category then.
But by that point, if you're a criminal, you got a good 3 or 4 minutes to be completely running away, driving away, down like on the highway by now, gone. I mean, how long does it take you to seriously get from our office onto the garage? You can do it in probably 2 minutes.
So
by then, that they're gone.
If I'm Kara Spencer or whoever, if I'm in a leadership position in the city of St. Louis, I just elected, I go into City Hall and say, okay, there's a couple things we're going to take care of here, right? One is the streets department. She did fire the streets director, so that's going to maybe right the ship. I'd fire Greg Hayes, the park director, too, because he sucks at his job. But in this position, let's figure out what would be so difficult about getting people into a room, even if it's that idiot Megan Green on the Board of Aldermen saying, we need resources for 911. This is not working for our residents. When they call 911, the wait times are unacceptable. Now, I get that you're not going to be able to change things immediately and wave a magic wand, but it doesn't even seem like that's getting talked about ever, right? It's just very frustrating because we've all seen things happen downtown that are not too good, and the police should be involved. All right, so YouTube, we were talking about this, the 20th anniversary today, Sue, right?
Yeah, today.
I had to learn this kind of the hard way years ago with my kids. Fred, maybe you did too. Like, my kids would be doing something. I have to think of something specific. I say, hey, how do you know how to do that? YouTube. Everybody goes to YouTube. So you might remember one Easter years ago, I had a situation where my sister came in town and she put a bunch of potato peels down the...
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
And I came back. I don't know what I was doing. I might have been at the gym or something. And I come back on that Easter morning and my wife expects me, Becky thinks I'm just going to explode, right? And
oh, sure.
And I don't, because I kind of know my sister, and she, if I explode, then things get worse.
Okay.
So I played to my audience. But I got on YouTube and I figured out how to unclog it. I took some of the PVC apart and I did it. I don't even know how I did it. So today I have this handyman. His name is Phil. We call him Phil Handyman. That's what like Alexa's like, hey, when is Phil Handyman coming? And there were a couple things that I needed him to do. And he'll come, you know, and when I have several projects, he'll come knock some of them down. One of them was like a drawer was falling apart. Sure. And we had some sliding big closet doors or pantry doors that were working. But there was a toilet in my daughter's room that wasn't working. And he replaced the whatever, the blah, 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 right? The plunge deal. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it was. But then as he's wrapping up, he says, well, it needs a new handle too. And you can probably do that. And my response was, Phil, have you met me? Like, do you know me at all? But it didn't look too hard. Has anyone done this before?
I did it not too long. But less than a year ago, I replaced the handle on my toilet.
He said the one thing that's interesting about the handle is it's actually reverse. You're not doing lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. Well, it's because of the way that the handle, envision the handle. It goes down.
Yeah.
And I guess if you crank it it would loosen.
Every time you flushed, it would get a little looser.
Yeah, that's bad.
Sue, this is turlet technology.
Yes, and I am into the turlet technology.
Technology. So I believe that I'll just go on YouTube tonight or tomorrow. I'm going to figure out where the handle is. I think I'll be able to do this. I'll certainly keep you posted.
Let me know. I'm happy to come help and assist. This seems like good content. You know, Mark and I changing the handle on a toilet.
Yeah, I also did. That's my phone ringing. I also did my mulch today, Alex. I want you to know.
Did you? How's it look?
Manual labor. I just got the front done. But man, the weeds. Fred, we were talking about this. Sue, I don't know what to do about the weeds because I spray the weeds, they come back. It doesn't matter if you put the plastic down or anything like that.
It does grow right through
it. So you're talking about weeds in beds rather than in the lawn itself.
Right. Yes. In the lawn itself, True Green takes care of that. My lawn looks phenomenal right now.
Well,
I mean, it looks great. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, not the best in the neighborhood. In the top four.
I'm
going to say not even the top five. I'm going to say the top four.
Weeds are nearly impossible. You just have to keep on top of it, and it stinks. That's it.
I think that mulch that they delivered for Mace, it's got some weed resistant in it, no?
Well, we're going to find out. Is that true?
I believe it might. Cool. I know they have options that have the weed resistant. Like it's got something in it that kind of, I don't know if it's preen. Is that what they call it? Preen?
I have no idea. I don't think I've ever heard that
well,
before.
Well, it minimizes some of the weeds. Now, Sue asked about the yard. When you put that stuff down, my yard, like, I'm with you. I look at it when I'm walking the dogs back to my house from taking them for a little walk around the block, and I look at my yard up ahead of me as if I'm one of the neighbors. Try to put myself in their shoes.
Yeah.
I seriously look at it, and I'm like, without a doubt, it's the greenest on the block. No. Seriously.
You know, what's funny about Alex's description is, I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but I absolutely related to what you were saying. Because it is. I'm like, I'll do the same thing. I'll even back up. Like today, I backed up my car. I went down the block the other way. And I drove by my house from the direction that I never come in.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Just to see how it looked from the
house. I wanted to see how it looks. You take pride in your mulch.
That's the thing. I think that's just like, I guess, like the people that we do our own yard work, we take pride in it. It's just like, I say this stuff to Annie all the time. She's like, when it comes to the grass, you're literally insane.
But I think guys are kind of like that, right?
I think we are.
Yeah.
Like, Sue, do you have something that you're particular about
her,
like,
hair.
Yeah, well, my hair. I mean, that's a given. But yeah, I do like the lawn and my plantings and my peonies. So I'm a garden. I like that.
It's
to
rewarding
look good.
To
yes,
look at. You're
it
like,
is.
You know what? It just looks great.
Let me also, while I'm doing this, because I experienced some of this, let me maybe pay tribute and homage to hostas, because those damn things, I'm looking at them a couple of months ago. I'm ready to pull them out. They're brown
Why?
And gross.
Oh, no.
No, I think they're dead, right?
No.
I know, but as dead as those things look, I'm looking at a couple of these now. They're beautiful. They're big and green, and they're luscious. Mm. I would use that word luscious. That's amazing.
This
the hosta is amazing.
You're right. They look the best this time of year when they're fresh and green and out. They like the shade, too. Hostas are good. Mm.
You know,
you can write that down.
I think I've slowly begun to realize the pain of growing old. I'm now one of those people that sits out front pulling weeds, and I've got a stool that I'm sitting on.
Listen, Fred, that's okay.
I don't think that's that terrible.
The ear pods and, just move my way across.
Well, my question would be, though, I mean, how many weeds do you have in one area that you're there long enough to sit down? That's just me. I think it's just you're
moving. I'm on a little pain.
What you need is one of those things. It's like a spike that it's on a stick, and it goes down in the ground and comes
pulls it up it, from the root.
Yeah, kind of almost like the
those are cool.
Like the reverse side of a hammer, I think,
but for
weeds, and it pulls it up. You don't even have to bend over. You don't even have to do anything.
I'm liking that.
Let me also this afternoon pay tribute and homage to weeds, because let me tell you something. These weeds, I've pulled some out of the mulch and around the grass. They're amazing. They're disgusting and big, but the weeds take on a life of their own, don't they?
It's disgusting.
They really do.
All right, let me talk briefly here about Teslas, because I didn't touch on this yesterday. Alex, have you been driving around, seen any of the, they've been out there in Chesterfield protesting? Right. I when I got my hair cut the other day, Allison, the girl that cuts my hair, she had the landlord of her building pulled up, and he had a Cybertruck. And I've made it very clear, I think the things are uglier than hell. But, I mean, if people want them, so I was essentially just calling him a Nazi over and over the other day. And I was kidding, and I didn't even know the guy, but he said the reaction that he's getting from people is just ridiculous, right? So we have situations. Those cars are equipped, and if you go up to Kia Tesla, you're going to get caught on camera because they have cameras. So in Minnesota, you had, and this is, of course, in Tim Walz's land, there was a district attorney that wouldn't charge a state employee that caused $20,000 in damage vandalizing a half dozen Teslas, right? So 33-year-old guy, Dylan Brian Adams, he works for the state of Minnesota. We see him on camera keying vehicles, stripping their paint off while walking his dog around the city. So they have proof of this, and you know they're going to charge him with felonies, but the prosecutor... Now, look, I would also understand that there's a situation where perhaps you can justify having more violent criminals in custody and in prison and jail, but I don't think that that's what this is about at all. I think you have someone up there where, and how do you react to this if you're a cop, right? You're a cop, you're out there, you're doing your job, you arrest people, and then all of a sudden you got a prosecutor, and that's what happened here in St. Louis, like Kim Gardner. They don't prosecute the situation. So this was six victims that totaled over $20,000 in damage, and the cop basically said, look, we did our job. Any frustration related to the charging decision of the Hennepin County attorney should be directed solely at her office. And the chief up there, got to give her credit, I think it's a she, give her credit. Our investigators are always frustrated when cases they poured their hearts into are declined. In my experience, the victims in these cases often feel the same. I don't know how they would. And by the way, the other thing that is interesting about this, remember the soundbite from Tim Walz that we played where he was basically cheering on the decline of the stock price from Tesla. And this guy's caught red-handed. He works for Minnesota's Department of Human Services. He's not a political employee. He's one of more than 40,000 state employees. The one thing I don't know, Fred, do you know if this guy's even been fired?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either. But I did find that interesting.
I don't understand
caught on
that.
Camera.
Yes. I mean, they have him because, of course, Teslas are computers, so they've got cameras
it's
all the way around.
It's not even like,
them.
Oh, maybe he didn't do it.
Nope.
He did it.
So why do they say, what's the justification?
There is no justification.
They just,
he basically just reduced it to a misdemeanor
disgusting.
And gave the guy a slap on the wrist. In the meantime, we have Elon Musk news today. I don't know if you've heard this.
I did.
You know, it's kind of funny because, Fred, if you're just following the news cycle, you go back 2 weeks, Elon was all over the place, and then you haven't seen as much. Now, obviously, Abrego Garcia and some of these other stories kind of took over, but he's cutting back.
Starting probably in next month, May, my time allocation to Doge will drop significantly. I think I'll continue to spend a day or two per week on government matters. For as long as the president would like me to do so.
He sounds a little down there, doesn't he? I don't like that. I'm not a fan of this only because I understand it because his company and the decline, the sales numbers are staggering when you look at them. They really are. But I feel like with Elon not there, that's going to take some of the focus off of Doge and what they're trying to, achieve and then what happens with the results. Now, then again, he kind of rubbed people the wrong way and maybe, creating a little space here might end up in good things for Doge. 4:46, we'll take a break. Sue's got traffic. We're coming back. Andrew Bailey after 5. I don't know why that skipped there. It sounded like it skipped. That's Todd Snyder, who is an awesome artist. He comes to St. Louis quite a bit, plays like the old Rock House or a venue like that. On the musical front, Alex Rich performs. He's in here from Y98, does the morning show over there, visits with us on a Wednesday. But we've highlighted some of your guitar playing. You play at Busch Stadium, for example, mm-hmm. on Sundays. You warmed up for an artist at the Factory a couple of weeks ago.
I did.
He's got breaking news. He told me this last night. This is probably pretty interesting here.
This is big news, yeah. This is the St. Louis City SC called me yesterday, and I am singing the national anthem at the City game on May 7th.
Oh, that's exciting. Good that's for not you.
Just, it's City the Open
game.
Cup
that's the
game.
Opening.
Yeah, right. It's the Open Cup, the oh. opening to the Open Cup, which is like the in-season tournament type thing, but I'm singing the national anthem.
That's good great. For you. That's
yeah,
exciting.
They're letting me do it guitar and everything, so I'm going to kind of make it my thing.
Good for you.
Have you
oh,
ever?
I've never done the national anthem.
Okay.
This will be first.
It's hard.
This will be the first time.
Practice.
People say it's hard.
Yes.
What's hard about it, though?
The range. It goes way.
See, and that's the thing. You got to make it your own. You have to make it your own.
Oh, dear.
Or,
well, you don't want to go.
I don't want to go like Fergie on it.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do
no,
that.
No, no. But simple. Simple, okay. yet, you know, a little fun, a little good pace
have
to it.
Have you practiced yet?
Oh, yeah. Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
I've definitely practiced it. Yeah.
How long is it?
It's about a minute 30.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? That's very fast. Are you sure about that? Because, like, they always do the...
Yeah, I think it's about a minute 30.
Well,
or maybe a minute 40.
You can just kind of clip through it.
Well, yeah, some of these people, like Sue said, like, you do too much. I mean, it's like, yeah, you can carry that thing on for 2 minutes. I think the over-under usually for the bets is 2 minutes.
So do you not get... Because I've told you, the audience...
Well,
before,
I know where this is going. I am nervous
I can sit behind this microphone or, you know, in a TV studio or something, I'm fine. But you put me in front of people, I do not like that.
Yeah, what's that stadium I think holds like 22,000,
yeah.
22,500 or something. So yeah, I mean, certainly I'm a little nervous about it, but I just...
But a good nervous, right?
I kind of think it's one of those things where, because some people are like, you know, do you really want to do it? It's like, well, why not? You know, why not? I got to do it at some point.
Exactly.
So I think, you know...
I like
you go out there and you do it.
You're taking on the challenge.
It's a you got to overcome it.
What are you going to
exactly.
wear?
Exactly.
You know what you're going
That's
wear
what yet? I got to figure out. I got to figure out what I'm going to wear it for it, but yeah, the whole experience of it I think is going to be interesting.
Alex,
well,
I'm miss
excited
it.
For you.
I come back that night from Greece.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of video.
Oh, I cannot wait. Well, I'm excited for you.
So,
but...
you know, if you're not already planning on going to the game and you're interested in seeing not even the team, but you just want to see the national anthem, get your Open Cup tickets. They're on sale now.
I have some great advice for you, though,
oh,
because I can't really handle the wardrobe in any way, shape, or form. But if you need your hair to look good, Sue's got you covered. She's
no,
going to take
she's
great
not.
Care
I'm gonna
of you.
I'm going to get shampoo. By then, we'll all have our own shampoo.
Alex, the next time I see you will be after that, because I'm not going to be back until after the 7th.
All right, well,
so
enjoy it. Huh?
Good luck with
Thank
that.
You.
Yeah, we got Andrew Bailey coming up.